From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, Kodiak's cod season could have been better. One of the challenges fishermen faced was a shrinking cod population. Also, Bristol Bay sees another drop in the total allowable catch for red king crab, tanner crab, and snow crab in the 2017-2018 season. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K-12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
The Kodiak State Waters Pacific cod pot gear season didn't go well this year. It was open longer than normal and, for the first time in its history, didn't meet its target harvest. Nat Nichols is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Area Manager for groundfish and shellfish in Kodiak. He says the fishery didn't even come close to hitting its goal. The season opened in March, and Nichols says it's usually done pretty quick, but this year it stayed open until September.
We have some seasons that are really fast, you know, 3 weeks, and it's really hot fishing right till the end. We've got all the boats participating. In the last couple years, we've seen some slower seasons where we'll start to lose participation towards the end of the season, and it'll get a little scratchy at the end, but we've always gotten there eventually. This year was unique in that the fleet quit before we got there.
A lot of vessels that fish for cod also go out for salmon in the summer. Once it became clear the season wasn't going well, many boats switched over. The fishery only hauled in 3.7 million cod, which is 61% of its guideline harvest level. Nichols says no one fished for the whole season. There were a lot of obstacles facing fishermen. One in particular was a drop in the cod population. Nichols says no one knows for sure what happened, but there's some talk among the North Pacific Fishery Management Council that it could have something to do with an event in 2015.
A couple years ago, we had a lot of whales and birds coming up on the beach. In Chignik, they saw a lot of cod coming up on the beach in 2015. There's the thought out there is that there's possibly a year class or more of cod that were affected by that same event.
Nichols says it was a good thing Kodiak had a decent salmon season and that there wasn't a repeat of last year's pink salmon disaster.
Having a really poor pink salmon year this year would have been a lot more painful for some of these boats that also had lackluster cod fishing this winter.
Even though the state season is closed, the federally managed parallel Pacific cod pod season is currently open, and Nichols says a few boats are already out fishing.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
The total allowable catch for Bristol Bay red king crab, tanners, and snow crab are already down again for the 2017-2018 season that opened Sunday. KDLG's Dave Benninger has more.
The National Marine Fisheries Service does an extensive trawl survey across the Bering Sea every summer. Stock assessments are built from that data, and the catch limits are then set. Bristol Bay red king crab numbers are still low, says BSAI area management biologist Miranda Westfall.
We've been noticing a downward trajectory for the effective spawning biomass, which are the reproductively mature males and females in the population, all females, males, and legal-sized males. We also are not seeing any strong pulse of small crab coming into the system, and it's just kind of they're going through, as the other crab stocks are, going through a low period right now.
The tack was set at 6.6 million pounds. This may be about as low as it's been for Bristol Bay red king crab. Westfall says about midway through rationalization, when crab quota was allocated to ease off the wild in this westernmost fishery, the tack was 14 to 15 million pounds.
It dropped down in like 11-12, 12-13 seasons, down to 7.8 million pounds. The last two seasons, which was 2014-15 and 2015-16, it's been just under 10 million pounds, and then 16-17 season was 8.5 million pounds.
Westfall says crab stocks are notoriously unpredictable, so it's hard to say if red king crab are at the bottom of a down cycle yet. though she suspects it'll be at least another 2 years before an improvement in the numbers might appear. There is an odd mismatch right now, though, because aside from the stock numbers, fishermen have been happy with the crabs coming over the rail.
The captains are reporting great catches. The average weights are high. So, you know, on one hand, we've got this fishery that's performing really well, but a stock assessment survey, that is telling us the population's in decline.
The Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation has both CDQ and IFQ crab quotas it fishes for. Norv Van Vactor is the president and CEO.
Do we think that this is an appropriate level and that conservation is being ensured? I think we do. I think they're, while disappointed, we are in agreement that we have to ensure this long-term stability and the health of the resource.
Van Vactor does not feel, however, that the lower catches will necessarily translate to significantly higher prices.
In fact, we are already reducing our revenue budget expectations to match the new TAC because, you know, again, we're hopeful that prices might come up a little bit, but will they come up again to offset the differential in volume? We don't believe that will be the case.
There's still some disagreement over how and where NIMS conducts its summer trawl survey to get the data. The fishing fleet feels red king crab are congregating into smaller areas, tending towards waters offshore of the south end of the Alaska Peninsula. The survey, however, continues to fish across most of Bristol Bay and the eastern Bering and report the lower stocks overall. Snow and tanner crab fishing opens Sunday as well. The snow crab stock has been on a steady decline, and the tack of 18.9 million pounds is down too. There is a silver lining for tanner crabs, though, and managers are independently opening the western Bering Sea fishery for 2.5 million pounds of catch, though the eastern tanner crab fishery will stay closed again this year. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
Smoked salmon is popular across Alaska and the world. For those who want to learn more about the process of making it, there's an annual 2-day workshop in Kodiak. It's open to novices and masters and shows them how to produce the savory treat on a commercial scale. KMXT's Mitch Borden has the story.
Students of the Alaska Sea Grant Smoked Seafood School are skinning fillets of sockeye salmon at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. They're preparing the meat to become smoked jerky. Richard Wilson is showing some of his fellow students how he skins fish.
I usually leave a little bit of meat on the tail, just so you can grab it, take it and go down, and then just start pulling it against your blade. If you got a sharp blade, it just goes.
Wilson and his wife came to the workshop from Naknek in Bristol Bay, where he works as a fisherman.
We have a little family operation. It's called Tolchina Fisheries, and just small family thing.
Smoking salmon isn't new to Wilson. He's done it for years, but only for personal use. The annual 2-day workshop will teach him and the other students techniques that could help them produce smoked fish commercially, which is why Wilson's here to get information that'll help him expand his business.
Oh, we're coming in here wide open. Just want to learn it all and see what it takes to actually do a product that's legal, you know, and that's safe and sellable.
This year, there are about a dozen students who've come from all over the country to attend. That's not uncommon. Skill levels usually range from backyard enthusiasts to professionals from the seafood industry. Chad Beatty came all the way from Seattle. He says he's worked in technology for 17 years, but now wants to make the jump to selling smoked seafood. He describes himself as a sport fisherman and says smoking fish isn't a new concept.
Yeah, I have some secret recipes and ingredients that way for sure.
He says making this career change will
marry my passion with my profession.
The class covers a lot in 2 days. It includes preparing and producing smoked fish products, teaching safety regulations, and getting up to speed on different machines. Chris Sanito is a seafood technology specialist at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. He's also one of the instructors at the workshop. He says teaching the class is one of his favorite things to do. Sanito loves smoking fish and the creativity that goes along with it.
It's kind of like winemaking. There's hundreds of different techniques, and everyone's uncle makes the best smoked salmon. So we're trying just to lay out what is considered a safe product and let people have the have the flexibility in creating their own methods too. So
Sanito says he's learned a lot teaching the workshop over the years, and helping people learn how to make safe and delicious smoked fish is really fulfilling.
You know, we've been doing it for thousands of years, and this is kind of putting the modern twist on it.
This year's batch of students worked on salmon jerky, the cold and hot process of smoking, and smoking herring. Sanito says all the students should leave at the end of the class with their arms full of the smoked fish they helped make. For KMXT, in Kodiak, I'm Mitch Borden.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Fishermen are on the front line when it comes to the impacts of climate change. An ongoing project by the Nature Conservancy in Alaska is giving voice to what fishermen are experiencing in a project called TidalChange.org. Here's a sampler. Melanie Brown of Juneau is a longtime set netter at Bristol Bay.
Since I've been fishing, I've witnessed a lot of environmental changes. The rivers don't freeze anymore, and those ice flows aren't there to protect the bluff above where our site is, and it just keeps coming down. It's starting to fill in, and so my site goes drier more quickly, so I have less fishing time.
Bob Snell has fished the Washington and Oregon coasts since 1971.
The last 35 years, I've noticed the oceans warming in the places where the salmon have to go, especially when they have to navigate up coastal streams that have been warmed. It's difficult for them to get up to their spawning grounds.
Eugene Anderson is from Chignik.
I have noticed over the past years, since the water temperatures warmed up, is that the fish change. They blushed earlier and they get red. The salmon are smaller, and sometimes we'd have water temperatures as high as 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
Peter Andrew of Dillingham has fished for 45 years.
I've seen the water temperature go up, and it scares me.
John Gadke has trolled for salmon in Southeast for 26 years.
And I don't care what people say, there is global warming and it's changing things. The salmon are confused. The patterns that they have followed for years and years and years, they don't seem to know which way to go now, or where to go, or when to go. That's pretty scary.
Find the Nature Conservancy's TidalChange.org voices online and links at AlaskaFishRadio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Earlier in the week, Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak opened its forward operating base in the Aleutian community of Cold Bay. The base consists of one MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter and an aircrew. The facility is active from October to mid-March. Petty Officer Charlie Hengen is a public affairs specialist with the Coast Guard. She says positioning a helicopter and emergency responders in Cold Bay helps the Coast Guard respond to emergencies in the region more quickly.
Approximately maybe 2 to 3 hours faster.
The Coast Guard opens the base on a yearly basis due to the influx of fishing vessels in the region for the winter fisheries, like the winter crab season.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Dave Benninger in Dillingham and KMXT's Mitch Borden and Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch in Kodiak. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.